Shalom and welcome. I'm Chelsea, certified mermaid, diver, and science communicator.
And I'm Blake, scuba dive master, freediving instructor, and also a science communicator.
We've created the Save the Mermaids podcast to connect ocean lovers from across the seven seas who have a desire to protect our waters and learn to live in sync with nature.
Save the mermaids, save the seas. Let's dive in. And now for our happy ocean news or environmental news of the week.
Yeah, this is just happy earth news.
Woo!
So again, from Only One, I feel like people think we're sponsored by them. We're not. They just put up really great stuff. They came out with the news just a couple days ago that says climate change actions are far more popular than people in the U.S. realize. It says, quote, a new study shows that Americans almost universally underestimate the extent of public support at the state and national levels alike for policy measures to address the climate emergency. And I just feel like that's something you and I have run into where we have constantly said, oh, we are making a difference. Like, oh, people do care. Oh, these petitions and these things actually work.
Right.
And having been living in the U.S. ourselves, I think it's important to know that things are actually happening and are actually working, even though you don't see it as much on our level.
I think that's positive news too, when you think about it, because especially as people who love the environment and love diving, it's easy to get bogged down and a little negative when we see things like shark fishing tournaments in Florida coming back.
Yes.
Or less protections in California for the kelp forest. When we see things kind of fall backwards, it's easy to be like, oh, nobody's listening, nothing's making a change. But in reality, it does take a while for people to change their minds, mm-hmm. right? Like if you look at Hawaii, we only banned shark fishing in 2021.
Right. That just happened.
And before that, scientists were literally killing huge female tiger sharks for research mm-hmm. within our lifetime of, 30 years.
Yeah.
So it shows that 30 years might feel like a really long time when you're living it, but in the long run, having those protections in place for the environment, by the time our kids or our grandkids are diving, it's going to be beautiful if we keep heading in that direction.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Who do we have on today? A special guest, I've heard.
Okay, we do have a special guest. We actually, I'm going to let her introduce herself because I feel like you're somebody very, very special. She actually reached out to us, which is incredible.
Made us so excited.
You made us feel so legit. But we have here today diver extraordinaire Shari. Why don't you go ahead and just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, cool. First of all, thank you guys for having me. I'm very excited to be here. My name is Shari Moscoso. I am from Germany, Peruvian heritage, so it's a little bit of a mixed situation here, and I am a recent, well, kind of new dive master, and diving just changed my life, and I thought I'd like to get my story out there to inspire others to get into diving as well.
I love that. Thank you so much for picking us to help you spread your story and your word. We are honored beyond all measure to have you here.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys for having me. It's very exciting.
It is. So I guess just a little bit more, tell us your origin story. You said you are German and Peruvian, right? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
So tell us about just kind of where you came from and what sort of guided you to where you are now.
Yeah. I grew up in Germany in a very, the German kind of mindset and environment, it's all very strict and very rigid about work and making money. So that's what I grew up in. And I never really had anyone in my family to be in the ocean. No one was a diver. Nothing was kind of like leading me into that direction. When I was a kid, I always told everyone I wanted to be a marine biologist, but I was kind of like, yeah, but how, why? No, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know anyone. I'm afraid of the ocean. that just doesn't make any sense. So I kind of didn't take myself seriously. And then the whole society thing kind of pushed me to studying international business and being that business person, wearing a nice fancy suit and making money and getting rich. The typical thing that you grow up in, as in people ask you, oh, what do you want to do when you grow up? Yeah, you should do this. You should do that. And so I kind of lost sight of the ocean for me career-wise. And I was also terrified of it. It's crazy because I wouldn't swim in water deeper in which to stand, I would not swim. And I was then like, yeah, no, that just doesn't make any sense. Diving, no, never. And then throughout the pandemic, well, even before that, I got really stressed. I was just not doing very well because I was living a life that was never meant for me, which now I understand. But during the time, it was very hard because I didn't understand what was I doing wrong? I just didn't get it. And then last year in March, I decided, because I was literally sitting on my sofa every day. That was my life. I was my sofa and the TV. That was my life. Even before the pandemic. So I then was sitting there and thought, you know what? I've always wanted to see whale sharks. Where can I do that? It's literally been the whale shark that was, because I was like, no, I have to do something. I have to live life. I have to live this planet and experience it. Because I was always a nature person. That was always what I wanted to do. But then I lost sight of it. Anyway, so I Googled, where can I see whale sharks? And then this place in Honduras, Utila, which is a tiny island, showed up and it said, yeah, this place is also the cheapest to get your open water. And I was like, oh, okay, I might as well do that then. And then I decided to become a diver and overcome that fear because I was fed up with living the sofa life. And then I just flew out there, got my open water, was extremely anxious and couldn't sleep the day before my first ocean dive. The underwater world, I was fascinated. And it's been a love story ever since, I would say.
That is so relatable.
I know.
You know, like, I right? feel like everybody's going to really understand where you came from listening to this. Because even me, you know, we live in Hawaii and it's wonderful, but we find ourselves sitting on the couch every once in a while. And there's always yeah. that one animal that you're like, oh, wouldn't that be great? And nobody ever goes to see them that often. And whale sharks is actually mine too, girl. Aww. Like, I really want to see a whale shark.
Have you never seen one?
No.
We'll fix
no.
that.
We'll have to go visit you. Yeah.
But yeah, honestly, it's so crazy because I'm based in Indonesia now because I'm a research assistant and dive master, right? So we don't really like typically get whale sharks here. And then last week I was one of two divers of our whole boat. It was like 15 people. We were the only ones who saw a whale shark. It was coming right at us. Oh. And I was just, I couldn't believe it. I was staring into the blue and then I see this weird shape. And you know, a whale shark, you know one when you see one. Like,
yeah.
And I was just like, what is happening? And then the other guy that saw it, they were like, he was like making the whale shark sign. And I was like, oh my God, yeah, I saw it too. So it was the best.
That is so special.
I love them.
I love the story so far. You're just, I don't know. I think a lot of people, you think, you know, this is what they wanted to do forever. People that are working with water just were always water people and they just knew. Yeah. But it's such a wonderful story that really it just normalizes a lot of watery stuff. It
reminds you of what you loved when you're little, and I feel like that's a very common yes thing with water people is they mm-hmm. it's a remembering of who you are and being more mm-hmm. authentic to your little kid heart, the things that light you up
yes
rather than
yes.
international yeah. business. Yeah, that's great and you'll probably make a shit ton of money, but whale sharks
right. you were so yes no wanted to see a whale shark and you got up and did it. Like,
right.
That's awesome.
No, and it's so crazy to me because I really was in a bad space. And also, as I just told you, when I was a kid, I would tell my mom, yeah, I want to be a marine biologist. And I don't know why, but I had this vision or idea of myself on a research boat being like advocating for marine life and whatever. I completely lost sight of that. And now I feel like I'm kind of coming back to myself and to who I always was. Because, you know, I would used to be that, I would be that child that wanted to have like the, I don't know, a dinosaur or a nature backpack. And my mom would be like, no, you're going to get the pink one with the flowers. You're a girl. You know, it was always that component also. So I feel like I really am coming back to myself, which just feels great. And everything, like ever since I made that decision, because I'm studying marine biology now, I kind of changed my whole career now. And ever since I made that decision, things are just coming together. And I think it shows how, or it's encouraging for people to know that because these decisions are scary, I was so scared. It took me a year to figure it out. And studying a second degree, a second undergrad, it was like a no-no for me. Because in Germany, we have that sense of, oh, no, I don't want to lose time. Oh, no, I have to start working now. As if life ended at 25. Make that decision that is right for yourself. Everything starts working out. I can ensure, like, I'm telling you, it does. All the opportunities that I'm getting here now, it's crazy. Sometimes I'm like, I have to pause and be like, oh, my God, this is my life. No, what? So, yeah.
I love that. Well, can you tell us, because you said that you're based out of Indonesia, where are you right now?
Yeah, I am on a tiny island next to Bali. It's called Nusa Lembongan. And you take a ferry from Bali and it's like 30 minutes of boat ride and then you're here and it's nice.
And what made you choose this little tiny island off of Bali that most people haven't even dreamed of?
So last year, to figure out if I really wanted to become a marine biologist, I did a research dive internship with the Marine Megafauna Foundation in Mozambique. And it was amazing. And it really shaped me as a diver, but that's a different story. So from working with them in Mozambique, I knew that they also had scientists here on Lembongan. And back then I was still debating on doing my dive master, and I was asking my supervisor about the best spots to do it, and I always wanted to go to Indonesia. And then I kind of developed that idea of coming here and working with MMF scientists that were based here. And then that's what I did, basically.
Yeah. You are such a go-getter. I love you.
I love the chutzpah. She's like, well, I want to do this, so I'm going to do it.
I'm going to make this happen.
No, but you have to. Why not? And that is the thing. Like, things work out then. And a lot of people reach out to me on Instagram and are like, yeah, but how do you do it? And how do you get involved in research? And how do you know all these scientists? And I'm like, yeah, just ask. If you have an idea, just tell people about it. Tell them. And usually they're going to say yes. So it's in my experience, like, just ask for what you want. And then the worst thing they can do is say no. And then you ask another person.
Yeah, exactly. So are you working as a dive master for tourism, or are you using that more for your research right now?
Research. I always, because everyone's also asking me, oh, are you going to do your IDC? Are you going to become an instructor? That's really not the route that I want to go on, because diving has always been, well, first to overcome my own fear, but then I really felt so passionate about the ocean and about research that it's really for research. And I'm going to start a research dive course next year in Germany, probably.
I love that. Do you have a specific focus right now for your research?
Yeah, so I am currently assisting a scientist from New Zealand. She is a Mola Mola scientist, like the sunfish scientist. Because Mola...
That's a job.
That's a job.
She is epic. Her name is Dr. Marianne Niegaard, and she's from New Zealand. She was based here on the island and was researching the sunfish that live here, and she discovered a new species. She's badass. I'm so inspired by her. And I am currently assisting her and just photo ID and hunting down pictures of like all the dive shops, because she hasn't been here in a while. So I'm kind of like trying to update the database, and then I might start a whole project with her in November, kind of like for the first semester of my marine biology degree. I'm trying to convince my university to be able to stay here and do that project and kind of like figure out either why some years there's more molas here than others, or kind of like do something about MOLA and divers interactions. We're still figuring that out.
Ooh, fun. So can you tell us anything cool, any fun facts about the MOLA MOLA? Because I think they're adorable.
Adorable, but also
goofy.
Creepy.
A little creepy.
They are so weird. I think they're the weirdest creature I've ever seen, probably in the ocean. Which is probably what makes them so adorable, like their weird face and then that mouth that is kind of always open. What is a fun fact about the MOLA? What I find so fascinating, what I was speaking to Dr. Niegaard too, is that they have a small brain, which people are always like, oh, I want to research intelligent animals, because we're all so fascinated by how intelligent they are, which I get. But I think with the MOLA, it's so interesting because they have a small brain, but still we know so little about them and about their interactions with us as humans, but also their own, like, within themselves. Because I feel like because they have such a weird shape, there's nothing that they can really do. So we cannot read their behavior. Mm-hmm. And generally, we know very little about them. So that's also a reason why I was like, wait a minute, no one's really researching them. Like, I have never heard. I know all these manta scientists and whale shark scientists and, like, great whites and tiger sharks and, wow, you know, the big stuff. But I never really knew anyone that did something about the molas. And then one day, it was funny, we were driving out to Manta Point to dive there. Which is like the typical manta dive site here in Lemongan. And I was sitting there on the boat, and randomly, out of nowhere, I got this idea, you know what, you should start a mola project. And then that was how I asked people on my Instagram, do you know any researchers? And then the Mozambique researchers recommended Dr. Niergaard. And that's how I got into it, really. It was kind of random.
Yeah. You are like the poster child for choose your own adventure, and I'm obsessed with it. We're gonna go with mola. Yes.
Why not? Do that's something new.
So fun.
I am just feeding off of everything you're saying right now. This is wonderful.
We definitely need you to come back and do an all about mola mola episode.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, because they just
honestly love that.
Are weird. Maybe for October when we do our creeps of the deep, like our we do in Octobers, we like to do our weird, funky animals. Then I feel a mola mola definitely fits that criteria. Mm-hmm. It is. I do.
It does.
It's not an enigmatic creature where everybody's like, "Oh, my spirit animal is a mola mola." But they are important and they're massive, so you're still seeing like a really
they're cool giant thing. It's so crazy, and they sit really deep, which is why it's kind of hard for divers to see them if you're doing recreational diving, because here there's like two and a half dive sites maybe where they do show up, but they sit at like 35 meters, so it's kind of hard seeing them.
So I want to talk about mola mola all day, but I do want to go back to your story too, and just more because you kind of said you very clearly left everything to come do what you're doing. Can you kind of guide us through like what obstacles you ran into or what that journey kind of looked like for you and felt like?
Yeah. So what, as I already shared, life was pretty. If I had to describe it in a color, it would be gray. Like, it was pretty gray, and not mental health wise, it was not a good spot to be in. I was just unhappy about everything. I didn't have any friends. I stayed in a city in Germany to study international business. Also stayed in a partnership, which I was never meant to be, and it was just really, really hard in general. Then I started the diving, and it was kind of like a savior thing for me, because I finally kind of saw something, like, if you want to put it dramatic, I kind of like saw the light in that dark situation. And then it was that decision of, okay, do I leave everything that I have built over the last 7 years here, or do I do something completely new? I did the research dive internship to figure that out. I remember the week before flying down to Mozambique, I was literally seeing a therapist, because I was really bad. And she was like, yeah, you have this, and you have depression, and you have this, whatever. And I was like, okay, shit, I might be a little bit messed up. And then I'm telling you, the second day I was down in Mozambique, I realized, oh, you know what? I'm actually good. And that was a big moment, because I was like in that tiny village on the sand in between palm trees and cows eating bananas. and I'm standing there. I'm like, wait, what? I'm actually good. It's not me. It's the whole life that I've kind of built for myself that I never really was supposed to build for myself. And then I went to South Africa after that, did a safari. I just rented a car and just randomly drove through the national park by myself. I was sitting in that car alone. And it was the best week of my life. I would just drive there. There would be no one. I would see like elephants and all these great animals. And in that car, I realized, no, you really have to. This is the life you want to live. It's nature. It's animals. It's diving. It's marine biology. You cannot go back to the old you. I just couldn't do it, and I knew it in that car. I was like, no, you can't do it. So then I get back home to Germany. it was Christmas time and everyone was like, oh yeah, so amazing, blah, blah, blah. And I had to kind of like keep that up to play with it. But then as New Year's arrived and as January arrived, I was telling people, okay, no, I'm going to do this. Canceled my apartment, canceled my job, people, relationships, everything. And I now have all the things that I own in my mom's basement. I have literally no possessions anymore because I was like, okay, mom, you keep that. And I'm just going to go fly out to Indonesia and that's it. I'm quitting this whole life. And luckily my mom has been very supportive, but it's definitely worth it. And I think it's still the best decision I've ever made. And I would encourage anyone, if there is something that you know and that you feel is right for you, just go after it. It's worth it.
Yeah. I love that. Do you have any advice for those of us who struggle with depression and how water kind of helped your mindset and helped pull you out of that space?
Once your head kind of like hits below the surface, everything is just, all the problems that you have in the real world are gone. And being underwater is just like a constant state of meditation for me. I was really, because I'm a very, very good overthinker. So diving really helped me in letting that go and just being in the moment and just letting things eat, whatever issue you might have, just letting it be and not obsessing over it. I think that's what diving kind of taught me. Yeah. Mm.
Do you have a favorite experience, like describing that I know we all feel that we have a whole episode based on it called Blue Mind, where we talk about how powerful and scientific the ocean is in terms mm-hmm. of healing us. But do you have a moment that you want to share with the audience of one of your dives that was just kind of like, oof, like just one of those, like gives you chills all over with the beauty of it kind of dives?
Interesting. Yeah. I have two moments kind of. The first one was probably my first ocean dive when I realized that, because I would obsess, like the night before that I couldn't sleep. And then the morning before getting on the boat, my instructor was like, okay, you're ready. You know, typical dive instructor being all funny. Yeah, let's go. And I had to hold back tears because I just was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. and my nightmare thought was being down there and looking up and seeing how far I was from the surface and freaking out, panicking and shooting up to the surface, which when I was down there looking up, I was just fascinated and was like, oh my God, this is like a giant bathtub. Wow, this is fascinating. And I would look at the reef and just realize how beautiful everything was. And it was a big moment for me because in that moment, I let go of this crazy fear that I had of the ocean. So I think that would be the first dive. And then the second dive that still gives me chills to this day was when I started my dive master training here. And we went to Manta Point and I was down there, you know, and there were, I think, maybe 4 or 5 mantas on that dive. And I'm from Mozambique. I knew that you could make eye contact with mantas and they would notice that. And then kind of, if you're lucky, come back and interact more with you. So I was literally, I mean, I'm like that on every manta dive, but I was sitting there, over the reef and I would stare that manta in the eye, be like, you notice me now. and she did, and it was a big female manta, and I would make eye contact and she would come in and she would circle me 5 times, like almost the whole dive she would just be there. And I felt this, I don't know if you get that, but I felt this big connection to that animal, and it was so special to me. And it was, again, kind of like reinforcing, and I felt like, okay, you're in the right place, you're doing the right thing. And it was just amazing. And I remember after the dive being on the boat and just sitting there with my heart and with my hands on my chest, being so grateful to life, to this planet, to everything, to the ocean, that we get to have these interactions. It was just very special.
Wow. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's something that you very much are, is inspiring. And I just thank you so much for sharing so openly your experiences and how you came to be where you are right now. It's incredible. And like I said earlier, just so relatable. Like,
a lot of people are scared to share their stories of mental health. Mm-hmm. And I feel like many of us who I've talked to, like just water women all around the world, it's our place of peace. It's a place where we get to go to escape the rest of the world, but in such a way that you're enveloped in a beauty that we forget is still here. Yes. Like we forget that this is accessible to everyone as long as you just get up off of the couch. And that's the hardest step
to
do when you're depressed and when you feel terrible and when you feel down and not good in your body. I know what it's like. I've been there too. But taking that just one step off the couch and then another step and then another step. And then who knows, you might end up on a little island off of Bali living with manta rays.
Studying the Mola Mola.
Studying the Mola Mola.
It's so weird because literally I became a diver last year in March.
It's incredible. And now you have what, 43,000 followers, an incredible amount of experiences behind you, this incredible story that you're letting us share. Like, a lot can happen in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for saying that. But yeah, and that, but that, that's what I want people to know. You can change your life completely. And it doesn't even have to take 10 years. Like, once you put your mind to things, you can just make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amen.
Amen, sister. Amen. From a conservation point of view, what do you see the most of in your line of work, as far as the impact that you guys are making, the things that you're finding out? What are the things you'd like to share about those kind of issues?
Yeah. So I think as a general kind of takeaway from a lot of research on any species is that population sizes are declining. The issues that everyone basically speaks about, overfishing and just unsustainable behavior of humans, is a thing. It is impacting wildlife. And sometimes it can be frustrating because these things seem to be very common sense. It's obvious that if you overfish, it's not sustainable and population sizes are going to decline. But you need research to be done in order to convince governments. For example, in Mozambique, manta ray population was really declining. I think it has declined by over 90% since research started there. It was very obvious, everyone knew about it, but in order to convince the government to put in a conservation measures and protect the species, you would need studies and you would need numbers. And it was only the economic numbers of ecotourism and how much money manta rays actually brought into the region. It was only that convinced the government to be like, okay, maybe we should protect these animals. They're bringing in millions of dollars every year. Oh, that might be a good idea. Mm-hmm. So I think a general takeaway is that I feel like humans sometimes don't really realize that. It's just like, yeah, whatever the scientists are doing, I don't know. But it is a real thing. And it is, I feel like it's not even surprising anymore, because with any species, like, I feel like every species is threatened these days. So it's like, just believe us and stop being unsustainable, maybe.
Yeah. That's the quote.
Yeah.
Just believe us and stop being unsustainable. That's going in the notes.
Yes, it is. Oh my gosh. So I just want to thank you again. So thank you for choosing us. Yeah. Like, we are, again, so honored that you reached out to us and wanted to use us to share your story. And we have been insanely inspired, and we know that a lot of listeners will be as well. Do you mind dropping some of your social media or websites or whatever you want people to check out as well?
Yeah. So let's start with the two research organizations that I am involved with. So the first one would be the Marine Megafauna Foundation, which is marinemegafauna.org. They also upload their studies there, so you can read the research and everything they do, which is amazing. So that's MMF. And then the sunfish one with the Mola Mola is oceansunfish.org. And it's a pretty straightforward website, and you can learn a lot about the different species, about the sunfish. And it's very interesting. And I think people don't really know much about the sunfish. I think people think it's one species, but there's five different ones. So check these out. And then my socials, my Instagram is Shari Moscoso. And I'm going to start sharing my dive master journey and my dives on YouTube. I have been doing YouTube for like Mozambique last year, and my first ocean dive is on YouTube too, if anyone wants to check that out. It's also Shari Moscoso, so same as my Instagram name. I'm going to start being more active there, and I think that's where to find me online.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That was so fun.
So fun. So I loved it. When are we coming to visit you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We gotta add it to our Save the Mermaids dive list. Yeah. I'm definitely
you
down.
You should come here. This is for sure. This honestly, this place is amazing because we get the diving here is so diverse. We get beautiful coral reef, and the biodiversity in coral here is huge, and it's pretty healthy too. So that's great. And then we have a bunch of drift dives, and we have megafauna as in mantas and molas. So this place has everything. I don't know why you would not come here.
Right. We're on our way.
We're on our way.
Telling you.
We all know that plastic straws and cups are one of the biggest problems contributing to ocean pollution, but there are plenty of other options out there. One of the best companies we've found is Mermaid Straw.
They did not hunt us down asking for publicity. We genuinely believe in their products and their mission.
Plastics are a huge problem in our fast-paced world, but making simple changes, like ditching your single-use straw or cup for a long-living metal one, can add up in a very real way.
Small changes are what is going to make a huge impact. Please shop using the link on our Instagram bio and save using code __mermaid__Chelsea__. Thanks so much for diving in with us today. Please make sure to follow us on Instagram at Save the Mermaids Podcast. Visit our website at www.mermaidconservation.com for all the podcast merch and our eco-friendly favorites. And don't forget to join our Facebook community, Save the Mermaids Podcast Community.
This is where we will post our monthly meetups, share our favorite underwater adventures, and connect with like-minded ocean lovers all over the world.
Until next time, mermaids!